Blog Talk Radio.
Gideon!
This is Hillary Clinton from Boston, traitors in the Galilee.
Come, we tell them this time I'm
ready.
It's
like you're crazy.
Every time.
You never know. You should know.
Everything that I have said. I've seen many situations. I had to avoid their illusion. Now getting caught in their confusion. Escaping this mental invasion. I've seen many situations. I had to avoid their illusion. Confusion. Rest a man escape this invasion. Seems I did you right, so why should I fight? Just to prove the point at this time. I see that there is pride behind all this light. Cause I first should see what's wrong from what's right. Yeah, it is so hard to express my feelings. Oh Lord, about the misconceptions of my teachers. Can't you see the prophecies revealing? Oh Lord, where
oh, yes.
Oh Lord, help us now that segregation is rising.
Man, I be reaper them so. Oh, man, I be reaper them so. Ambitious mind, elevating so. Ambitious mind, evil see them as so. Frustration turns most friends into foe. Working day and night trying to overthrow. To counsel together, plot against a brother. Robbing a barrel, who is the mind of a hero.
Why?
The wicked gets a ton rock flow.
Oh, the wicked gets a ton rock flow. It seems as if you're right, so why should I fight? Just to prove a point at this time. See that there is pride behind all this mind. Cause I first should see what's wrong from what's right.
Yeah.
Can it be so hard to express my feelings? Oh yeah, oh yeah. About the misconceptions of my teachers. Oh boy, boy. Hey, can't you see prophecies revealing?
Yeah.
Hey, oh Lord, help us now that segregation is rising.
It's rising,
rising.
Don't be learn them and teach. They know we are no rich. Ignorance out the full, yes, yet no one speak. Oh, eating the people, them are straight out of sick. Everyone feed themselves, but place man a seek. Oh, it's not the glory, the earth to the meek. Hey, hey, if I laugh, I weak. Harvest time, how when them are gonna reap. You think the judge are dead, but in my life I'm a seek. We all got to reap what we sow.
We sow.
Man, I feel reap what we sow. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I feel. I feel.
Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here at Blog Talk Radio. Last week, I had a conversation with a couple of brothers from the National Solidarity Committee. And it was pretty interesting. Like I said, I'm just going to be doing these short shows here right now until I get a few things in place. I still don't have a whole lot of time to be spending online right now. Not a lot of time to be doing shows. So, these brothers came back, and I appreciate that because I love what they had to say, and I enjoy talking to them. We hit it off. I'm going to try to do all I can to support what these brothers had to say. So, I want to kind of pick up where we left off and some things, but bring up a couple other issues I was checking out, things have gone on this week. I heard Al Sharpton on TV, on the radio. I just shake my head at this fucker here. This guy said something that really, really was really, really disturbing. I mean, ugh. I mean, I just want to know what world this guy is living in when he was saying that, hey, we've made progress since that march on Washington. We have, man? Really? I mean, the only one that's progressed is you. I mean, you've gotten a lot richer by talking about black people's issues. You know, you're a poverty pimp. And I heard him on the radio, and Nathan, every time I hear him, I don't hear nobody confronting him. But hey, man, you know, you got filthy rich off talking about black people's issues. So, you know, we need to deal with that individual there on another basis. But one of the things that was said when we went off last week was the world is watching us. So I would start thinking about that. So let me bring these brothers in and go ahead and get that clarity, because I've kind of felt that, hey, the world's watching, but again, what are they saying? What are the efforts they're putting forth to go ahead and change the situation? Because that Trayvon Martin thing, we know that something like that happening nearly every day. But I keep putting it out there. These people are killing us because we're killing us. Let's not misunderstand, and I don't give a damn if you get upset, but it's the truth. They killing us because we killing us. We ain't got no respect for us, and we need to stop that shit. Stop with the baby talk and all the pussyfooting around. Let's tell the truth and go ahead and be harsh and confront the situation for what it is. So with that being said,
Brother Rob, can you hear me, brother?
I got you, brother, loud and clear. How you feeling?
Man, doing pretty good, brother. Doing pretty good, you know. We had another ancestor been given to us. My father passed away Monday, so I've been going through the motions this whole week. But, you know, this is just another strength, another ancestor given to us. And I'm feeling that strength already, brother. So I'm about ready to push this movement even more further, man, now that I got more strength and compass within this vessel.
Okay, brother. Yeah, I feel you. I just my mom passed in June, so you know I was going through it myself. You know, watching her go through that whole thing, man. It was rough.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It was real rough, man. So just let me know, man. We can talk a little bit more a little bit later on.
Most definitely.
But we only got a short bit, a little bit of time on this right now, so let's get to this, and we're gonna deal with that a little bit. Brother Jakar, you there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. How was your week?
Can you hear me?
I got you, brother. You in?
Oh, okay. Yes, sir. I'm fighting, struggling. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Yeah, we're going to have to give that brother from Congress some a lot more support. You know, we need to stick with each other, go ahead and hold each other up, uplift each other.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, we revolutionaries, man, and, you know, at the end of the day, you know, our ancestors are formed, and we, as we always say, the struggle continues, because we gotta maintain and keep this flag up and keep it moving, man, because as you introduced at the beginning of this whole platform, you know, there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of BS that's still going on, and it's things like that, as the brother and I talked about earlier.
It sure is,
like,
man.
We got to crush that.
Yeah, because like I said, I heard Al Sharpton, right? And that was pathetic. You know, I'm just saying that, you know, he said, hey, look, you know, since the Martin Luther King, and we progressed. And I'm listening to this fool on the radio, and I'm saying, man, we progressed. How you know?
Well, here's the thing, and I'm not going to sugarcoat this. You know, it came out a couple of years ago, and he didn't deny it. It came out that Al Sharpton had wore a wire for the FBI. So, I mean, it's like now, you know, people had this ability to reinvent themselves. Sort of like years ago, you had Prince Raheem, and then he reinvented himself as RZA. or, you know, you get artists to do that, that one minute they this, and then they try to reinvent themselves. Well, this is what he did, and he reinvented himself. And I don't know how it is people forgot that this dude, I mean, it's a video. It's a video, like, you know, undercover, he wore a wire, a whole nine. Like, it's, you know, this is when he was 19.
Mm.
I mean, I'm sorry, not when he was 19. This was actually in 1980s, I believe.
I see it like this. I think Al Sharpton started, because I think this is like his second go round, but he got solidified as a part of them, you know, part of that group, or being close with the FBI when he ran for president. Because he also had to go ahead and get a little bit of that federal protection. I think that's when he really, really started to go ahead and sell out.
Right. And then, I mean, let's look at the brother. You know, he got, he got his TV shows. He's on, I think he was on one of those CNN shows or Fox, whatever channel he was on. I mean, the brother's out there. And one thing I'm going to say, man, I'm just going to put it out there right now. Myself and the brother, our brother comrade Jakari, that's on the line now, we always said, man, at some point as black people, we're going to have to produce an exposure program. You know, we're going to have to start exposing these cats. And I'm talking from Reverend Al Sharpton to Messy Jesse Jackal, however you want to call it. We need to start pointing all these cats out and start exposing these cats. Because if you go throughout the community, man, and you survey our people, most of our people know who's who. We know who's who, man, and we got to start playing with each other now, man. Let's just start putting it out there on who's working with the feds, who had responsibility on certain circumstances, certain situations, you know, and who's who in the community, who really are our representatives when it comes to leadership levels, you know. And for that matter, how do you say you represent the people, or you represent black people? Have we sworn you in? Have we given you that particular representation, or have the cameras made you that? Have the media produced you and considered you our leadership, considered you our representatives? And if the media produced that, if the media made that realm for you, then no, sir, you are not representatives of the people. You are just what my brother considers ambulance chasers and making money off of our people. Until we put you in there, until we settle you down as part of that leadership realm, then the justification for consider yourself representatives of African people within America is null and void.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I mean, just to get into a little bit more about this. In 1983, there was a video made. He was a part of this FBI investigation called Operation Crown Royal. And this was an FBI investigation into corruption in the boxing world. Okay, and it was like a mob sting, you know. And he even admitted it back when this was going on, you know. He even admitted. I mean, he couldn't deny it. It was a video. This is a video. It was Senate hearings about this and everything. Okay, so, you know, what my thing is how is it that his followers, his flock, put up with this? Like, this dude is an informant. They don't just decide, okay, yesterday we used you on this mob thing, and that's all we're just going to use you on. That's it. We're just going to restrict it to that. Once they make you their bitch, you always their bitch, okay? And that's the real deal. I mean, it's like, it's obvious what's going on here. Every time something happens, you get your Al Sharpton, your Jesse Jackals, they come out and tell us that we, you know, they try to direct the people's anger into a direction that will lead us to nothing. I don't know no other way of putting it. You know,
let me help you with that. See, because you got the NAACP, they supposed to have came on out and supposed to be filing all these lawsuits, and it hit me. It hit me like this. I was like, Jesse, you know, the NAACP has filed lawsuits on our behalf about certain issues, but where did that money come from? I mean, where did money come from? And then where's the money going? Because once they win, it's just not no, you know, okay, well, thank you. We're going to go ahead and change this rule. It has to be some money involved. See what I'm saying? So I don't hear where that money's going or where the money's coming from. You gotta got money, go ahead and file it, and then you paying off these attorneys and all this other stuff. It's a lot of money involved. And they go ahead and they using it as a some kind of little BS tool to go ahead and fatten their pockets. And I don't see what they really doing. There's a brother here, like I was saying, I think I tried to mention to you about brother Reverend Al Pinckney. And he used to be part of the NAACP leadership. And so, like, when his shows come on, I did a couple of shows with him. I'm going to bring him back, and we're going to go ahead and let people know again, NAACP is not for you. But they hate it.
Look at the origins of the organization. Look at the origin of that organization, NAACP. Who was the root founders of that organization? You see? And when you start getting into the root of the thing, then it never falls apart. You know, I mean, the apple don't fall from the tree, as they say. You know, and so the fruit comes straight from the root of the root of the ground. And so if you got Jews running the show as it relates to Zionists, then it's not gonna go any much further than where it's at. Where's the money coming from? You know where the money coming from. It's coming from these Zionist imperialists who dictate not only that organization, but dictates many other organizations that's quote-unquote ran by African leadership. But that's just the facial piece of it. It's sort of like Obama. You see him as a quote-unquote president, but understand that he's just a puppet for the highest powers that be. Same with the NAACP. You might see a black president of that organization, but that black president is submitting to higher powers that's at the root of that organization.
And see, you know, to get even further, I mean, it's like this shit is ridiculous. Like, man, this dude tried to set up Assata Shakur. You know, he tried to set up a meeting with Assata Shakur here and try to basically help the FBI to capture her. And it's crazy. Now, this is 1983. Now, here we are in 2013, and it's like he's still at work. Like, this dude, there's nothing good that comes out of informants. You know, nothing good comes out of informants. You know, I don't care what the mission, I don't care how it looks on the surface, but they have a mission. So he could come out and act like, say a little black stuff, and we think, oh, yeah, Al Sharpton, he fuzz. And, you know, it's crazy. Now, I want to move it to this thing with how the world is watching us right now. And, you know, you look at what's going on globally, and you'll see it's like it takes you into a whole nother world because a lot of times, you know, we had that block mentality, sort of like the brother in the hood that ain't never been off his block. And they feel like what's going on the block is the only thing going on. So because, you know, circumstances on the block may be one way, he or she may think that that's how it is all over because that's the only thing they know. But then if they go and take a trip to just
still there, brothers?
I think it's, let me see, this line was still open. Brother Jakari. Okay, well, look. One thing I want to deal with real quick. Okay, dealing with the National Solidarity Committee, Okay. Do you think which country do you think will go ahead and do an open commitment to go ahead and deal with the mission statement? Which countries do you think will go ahead and support the National Solidarity Committee openly?
Openly, man.
Yeah, because I try to send you a piece on the I think it was Zimbabwe having that all-black stock exchange.
Right,
exactly. And it's a lot going on right now with Zimbabwe where they're trying to, that's another story. But, you know, as far as...
Uh-oh, brother, your line keep dropping.
Right.
Leave that
right.
Up. How you feel about that, brother?
You know, Zimbabwe, you know, you're looking at strategic places that are definitely support. Hell. Man, Cuba, all types of, it's wherever you see our people and oppressed people anywhere, I think the oppressed people throughout the world would support the idea of the National Solidarity Committee. You know, one of the things I wanted to go to, in reference to that Al Sharpton, you know, Dr. Huey P. Newton gave us an analysis. And one of the things that Huey said, he said, the actions we engaged in at that time were strictly strategic actions for political purposes. He said they were designed to mobilize the community. Any action which does not mobilize the community toward the goal is not a revolutionary action. The action might be a marvelous statement of courage, but if it does not mobilize the people toward the goal of a higher manifestation of freedom, it is not making a political statement and could even be counter-revolutionary. Now, this is one of the things that we push in the National Solidarity Committee. We say, first and foremost, if we are people that's talking freedom, if we're talking that we want our own sovereignty, we want sovereignty, we want freedom, freedom from oppression, freedom from exploitation, then that means whatever we put on the table has to be able to mobilize not just that particular group that's putting it on the table, has to be able to mobilize the community as a whole towards that particular goal of freedom, towards that particular goal of liberation. And so you have countries out there. You have people like whether it's in Africa, whether it's in North Korea. The brother and I was just sharing yesterday, and really we've been sharing this for over the last 18 years, me and this brother have been working together. The letter from North Korea, from the grandfather of the Korean North Korean leader today. So we have many allies, not just within the African, our own African tribes, but we have many allies that will support and stand with us as it relates to us fighting the struggle against imperialism, us fighting the struggle against oppression and against exploitation. But whatever we do, it has to be strategic and tactfully put. They can't just be marches, as our brother Eldridge used to say later for that, you know. It can't just be marches anymore. It can't just be particular campaigns anymore. We have to be able to mobilize and have continuity with that mobilization. We have to be able to mobilize and have some type of consistency that's going to put us on this particular foundation to mobilize on different fronts a revolutionary action, not a reactionary action, not an emotional action, but a revolutionary action. And when I mean by revolutionary action, I mean by having scientific analysis of the problem and putting it into strategic practice, or as we always say, uniting theory with practice.
Yeah, that sounds good, brother. So tell me, look,
Did our brother get back on?
Yes, sir.
You still there, Jakari? I want you to go ahead and get into that thing. Tell everybody that give everybody that information about what was said in that letter from
Kim
Jong Un.
I
think which one was it?
Go ahead, big brother.
Okay. Well, first of all, to understand the letter, you have to understand the context of. this letter was written 1 month after Fred Hampton. Well, this was it was sent 1 month after Deputy Chairman Fred Hampton Sr. was assassinated. Okay, so it was an outpouring of support. It was people were up at arms all over the world about this. So this is a letter, actually. This is the actual letter from Comrade Kim Il-sung. Attempts to try to Google this, they will only speak of the letter. It's hard to find the letter. That's why we're making sure we're republishing it and putting it out there. We putting it out there verbatim. We're not changing one word, you know. So it says here, I express my hearty thanks to you, to your party, for the revolutionary greeting sent to me on the new year. Last year, your party and the progressive black people of America courageously repulsed the ever-intensified fascist oppression and persecution by the U.S. imperialists and won great victory in the struggle for freedom, democracy, and the vital rights. The Korean people watch with profound sympathy and express militant solidarity with your just struggle to abolish the cursed system of racial discrimination of the U.S. imperialists and win victory and emancipation. Convinced that the militant ties between the Korean people and the progressive black people of America will further strengthen and develop in the new year in the battle against U.S. imperialism, our common enemy, I wish you fresh success in your struggle. Now, let me explain about a couple of things that happened after you. You could imagine, you know, CIA and all the intelligence agencies in the world was going completely crazy when this came out. I mean, here's a whole nation that is pledging militant solidarity. You have to understand what militant solidarity means. In other words, when it's time to get down with the get down, we with y'all. And let us know how to, let's get it cracking. So at the time, the Black Panther Party and the movement itself was so damaged, and you had brothers being exiled and shot up and the officers being taken out and all type of stuff was going on where they were being scattered and it was being disorganized. You had Bobby Hush, who purged the whole Chicago chapter, kicked everybody else out except for him. I mean, it was a lot of stuff going on. So at the time when this came out, they were not able to even get that support. It was not organized for them to even accept the support. But you had people that was waiting, like, just say the word. You see what I'm saying? The problem is the word couldn't get out. And, you know, the intelligence agencies made sure that they did everything in their power to put a wedge between the black and the Korean and Asian community. And what they did, it was pretty slick if you think about it, and it kind of goes into what you see today. It's the effects of it we still see today. What they did was they imported South Koreans, not North Koreans, South Koreans who were ass-kissing to America and, you know, being they little bitches. They imported South Koreans into the United States and gave them grants, business grants, under a couple of conditions. Condition number one, they could only open up a business in the black and Latino communities. It wasn't just a black community, it was a black and Latino community. So they could only open up a business in a black or Latino community. That's one. Condition number two, they had to go through these classes before they can get their grants. Now, in these classes, what they taught kind of goes into what we see, why we see the Koreans and the attitude that they have today. In these classes, they taught them that we were less than shit, and this is how you're supposed to treat black people. And they basically trained them to treat us like shit because they knew that would cause a wedge, drive a wedge between the black and Asian solidarity. And they do that on so many levels. They do that in the black and Latinos solidarity. They do that, and at the end of the day, the white man laughing at all of us. And when that happens, you have South Koreans here. You will not find a North Korean in none of these stores. If you go and check, not one North Korean has a store in the black community. These are all stores that are descendants of the original, the South Koreans that were brought here by the CIA, taught in classes how to teach us, how to treat us like shit. So it was.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Hold
on, Brother Jakari. Okay, it was a question I saw in the chat room is, who is the they? Who is that they you referring to?
I already stated that. I said the CIA had a project. It's called disinformation. And the whole point, they had to figure out how could they drive a wedge in between the black and Asian communities. And the way that they came up with was to import South Koreans, not North Koreans, but South Koreans, who were their bitches, into the United States, give them grants, federal grants, saying that they can open up a business and don't have to pay taxes for 3 years. Some of them don't have to pay tax for 5 years under the condition that they go through the class and that they only open up their store in the black or Latino community. And in those classes, they taught these South Koreans to treat us like shit. They show movies sort of similar to what Hitler did when he was showing videos of the other race of Jews, because he was a Jew himself. But the other bloodline, all right, when he was showing videos showing them as degenerates, okay, and this is what they did. They showed all of that blackface. They showed, that we basically were monkeys, and that we were basically to be treated like subhuman. And this is the reason you still see this in South Korea today. You go to South Korea, you go ask anybody who's ever been in the military who was stationed in South Korea, and they'll tell you it's like walking into a time warp. On one end, they'll act as if they praise you with the whole hip-hop generation thing, but at the end of the day, they might come up to you and thinking it's sweet, talking about, what's up, my nigga? And they have the blackface dolls over there, the stuff that you won't even see over here, rarely. They got the blackface doll, the blackface posters and stuff, them old ads that you don't even see over here no more. They got all that shit over in South Korea. But right across the border in North Korea, they teach them about Marcus Garvey. They teach them about Black Panther Party. They teach them about Martin Luther King, Malcolm X. They teach them about our social and freedom fighter movements. They don't allow none of that degenerate shit that shows us like monkeys and less than human. They don't allow that shit over in North Korea. That's why it's a whole different dynamic. And that's why we have to understand revolution. A lot of people don't understand what revolution is. We got a lot of people that's in the movement, and they think they're in the movement. They don't understand tactics. They don't understand revolution. They don't understand solidarity. Okay, like Fred says, Deputy Chairman Fred says, we fight this shit with solidarity. In other words, if you're a revolutionary, over here and it's a revolutionary over there and a revolutionary over here, we all fighting the same common enemy, what sense do it make for us to put down our fight with the main enemy and start fighting each other? That's stupid as shit. But that's what you got, brothers. You got brothers and sisters out here. They'd rather us go and fight some Mexicans or go and fight the Asians. You know, and it's crazy because, you know, instead of putting things in a proper context and exposing the South Koreans for who they are, we just like, oh, man, them goddamn chinks, all of them. And we don't understand. That's just like, you know, that's just like you go in Detroit, you're going to find a whole different dynamic than when you go into Chicago or when you go into or if you go into Mississippi or if you go into New York. And even then, breaking it down, even when you go into certain areas in these places. You see what I'm saying? You're going to have a completely different dynamic. You're going to have some places where you're going to have brothers and sisters that's more conscious, and then some places where the murder rate is just through the roof. And there's no, it seems to be no consciousness. And it's the same thing, but we'll just, you know, them goddamn Mexicans. Man, we need to get them Mexicans out of the country. They taking our job. What the fuck are we talking about? We're supposed to be focused. You know, we're supposed to be focused on getting ourselves free, and we're talking about some goddamn Mexicans' job, taking our jobs. You see what I'm saying? That type of shit. That's the type of shit that the government, through their different programs, through the Mexican mafia and all of these things that's actually ran by the CIA, people need to understand it. These are the things that they promote. And through your Negroes like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackal. So, I mean, you know, this is the stuff going on, man. And I'm, you know, I didn't mean to take up so much time, but I really had to touch on this, man. I really had to touch on this because, you know, you're going to have some people, whoever out there listening, that's still stuck on that, man. You know, man, fuck what you talking about, man. I'm tired of Mexicans. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of...
You know what, brother? It's already like that. It's still a lot of people like that. And it's hard to go ahead and tell them, hey, look, man, a lot of this stuff is cooked up. A lot of this stuff is to go ahead and have you fighting each other so they can go ahead and do, you know, do the shit behind the scenes to make your life worse. And it's hard to let a lot of people know that stuff, man. Listen, brother, like I said, we're going to be doing these quick shows, and this was another quick one. Next Friday, man, I'm going to go ahead and do a little bit longer because I want you to go ahead and express yourself a lot more. You know, just we're going to go ahead and call it a night here, right there. But you got any final words, brother? Say something, brother. Throw something out there. You got any final words? Because one thing I wanted to go ahead and touch on real quick, I want you to hit on this real fast before you go. Because I think Brother Fukan is nine dropped. I want to go ahead and deal with the scheduling, the meetings. You know, when you're ready to go ahead and get out here and do some stuff, or are you ready to go ahead and just go ahead and say, hey, look, we have things established right now. When you ready to go ahead and get out in the streets? When you need me to get out here and help you?
Well, what we do is we put the information, the phone number out there where people will be able to keep contact and be able to stay abreast of what's going on. The phone number is area code 512-843-2779. So basically what happens is they call that. Also, they can check on the internet, therealbpp.com. That's therealbpp.com.
What does that stand for?
Huh?
What does that stand for?
The Real BPP, that's the, what do you call that? That is the URL. Oh, I think I said that right.
The Real Black Panther Party? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, you're saying what does BPP stand for? Oh,
yeah.
Black Panther Party is what BPP stands for.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to get to. That's what I'm trying to get to. Yeah, brother, you know what? We're going to go ahead and do some shows. I'm going to give you a call a little bit. Holler at you a little bit, man. And we're going to go ahead and do some more shows. I'm going to go ahead and expand this thing here starting next week because I got, still got a few more things to take care of. Well, it was good having you. That brother Fukan, he dropped off. I'm glad you showed.
Oh,
I'm glad
he went out.
Say it again?
He said his line went out.
Yeah, his line went out, brother. Like I said, I'm glad you called in, brother. We're going to go ahead and do this again, do it a little bit more extended starting next week because I'm going to have a little bit more time, a few more things, and go ahead and get that stress out of my life. And we're going to go ahead and get you on a little bit again. You going to be available next week?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes, sir. Well, I look forward to having you. I'll give you a call, okay?
Okay, brother.
Okay, brother. Peace. You know, that's my show, everybody. I'm glad you know, people came out and listened. Oh, I'm going to take you out on this one here, some Bushman.
Power to the people.
Right before my eyes, another road boy gets saved from another gunplay. Oh. And it's the teaching that he provides, the slaying of so much lies. But still, stiff-necked fools wanna go their way. There is some rude boys hanging in the alley, and if you pass, let me say you're lucky. The trigger happy wanna prove him skills.
Thank you.